When you're on safari and you think of a dangerous animal, which animal comes to your mind first? Probably a lion. But if you ask experienced safari guides which animal in Africa they truly respect the most, you often get a completely different answer. It's not the lion, not the leopard that's mentioned, but the African buffalo. And that's especially true when you're on foot. Because on a walking safari, the buffalo is considered the animal that demands the most attention. I'm the safari guide, my name is Frank, and today we're talking about the African buffalo. For the sake of simplicity, in this episode, I'll just refer to it as the buffalo. The buffalo is one of the so-called Big Five. Big game hunters used to name five animal species that were particularly dangerous and difficult to hunt. The Big Five include elephant, rhino, lion, leopard, and of course, the buffalo. And when it comes to the term Big Five, it's not about beauty or size. It's about risk. The animals of the Big Five are able to defend themselves. They attack or are extremely difficult to track. This term comes from a time when the focus was not on photography or observing nature, but on hunting purely for pleasure. Of course, the meaning has changed today. The Big Five have long since become a symbol of Africa's wildlife. For many safari guests, it is an important goal to have seen all five animals. A lion or even a leopard tries to avoid people. They see and hear us and usually withdraw. A rhinoceros has very poor eyesight. If it notices us, its behavior is relatively clear: flight or attack. And that is not without danger, but often understandable and predictable. Elephants, too, are not programmed to attack. Within the Big Five, the buffalo has a reputation all its own. Not because it is the fastest or the largest, but because it is so difficult to assess because it is unpredictable. And on a walking safari, for that reason, it is considered the most dangerous animal of all. The buffalo often lies in dense bush in the shade, completely calm. You neither see it nor hear it. But suddenly, you are too close. And almost always, it is not just one animal. Most of the time, there are several or even an entire herd. If it decides to attack, well, it's not just a big animal coming at you. Then several hundred kilos of muscle mass come charging straight at you at up to 50 kilometers per hour. And it doesn't just politely stop in front of you. No, it follows through with its attack. There's something else. Especially injured or old bulls living alone, the so-called dagger bulls, tend not to flee. Sometimes they even turn around, walk in circles, disappear briefly into the bush, and then attack from ambush. So with the buffalo, it's not just its strength that's dangerous, but the combination of calmness, camouflage, and the determination to attack. That's why, on a walking safari, the rule is keep your eyes open and especially your ears. And you should pay particular attention to small birds, the oxpeckers. These birds often sit directly on large mammals such as buffalo, giraffes, or antelopes. There they eat parasites, ticks, and insects from the animal's fur. That alone is already very fascinating, but they also serve as an early warning system. When danger approaches, and that includes humans, these birds are often the first to react. They take flight and give warning calls. And it is precisely this call that can be crucial for us humans. While the buffalo may still be calmly standing in the bush and remain invisible to us, the oxpeckers give away that something big is nearby. And for us, that's the chance to recognize the dangerous situation early enough. And that's why, on a walking safari, the rule is, if birds suddenly take flight or call out loudly, you should definitely stop and listen very carefully. And if you keep your ears open, you might even hear the buffalo itself. Buffalo are pronounced herd animals. A single buffalo already appears very powerful, but a herd feels like a wall. Like a dark, heavy block moving together through the savanna. Slow, calm, but with an enormous presence. A typical herd consists of cows, calves, younger bulls, and dominant bulls. That can be 50 animals, but also several hundred. Cows and their calves form the core of the herd. You often see them lying close together, body to body. It almost looks cuddly, but it's mainly for protection. For a calf, the herd means everything. Safety, orientation, and learning. It learns where water is and where good grass grows. It also learns how to behave when danger threatens. Within the herd, there are hierarchies. Among the cows, it's different than among the bulls. But what's interesting is that the animals that set the direction, deciding where to go, aren't automatically the strongest ones. Often they are particularly experienced animals. They are called pathfinders. These are animals that simply know where to find water and where the good grazing spots are. Buffaloes tend to use the same paths over and over again. These routes have often existed for many years. Let's move on to reproduction. When a cow comes into heat, a bull stays close to her and tries to keep other bulls, that is, the competition, away. And this can lead to fights. The animals clash with their massive heads and horns, and the fights are fierce and brutal, but usually not very long. In the end, the stronger bull wins and mates with the cow. A cow is pregnant for about 11 months and usually gives birth to only a single calf. Births can take place throughout the entire year. In many regions, however, there is a peak during the rainy season. That makes sense after all. During the rainy season, the grass is especially rich in nutrients. And it is exactly these nutrients that the mother needs to produce milk. The birth itself usually takes place right in the middle of the herd, and a newborn calf is surprisingly quick to its feet. Within just a few hours, it can stand and follow its mother. Yes, that's vital for survival in the savanna, because a young animal that lies helpless on the ground for too long doesn't stand much of a chance. And yet the calf remains especially vulnerable during the first few weeks. If it loses contact with its mother, it calls out to her. Yes, and the mother responds immediately. Young females also stay in the herd as adults. However, the young bulls leave the herd when they are about 2 to 3 years old. They form bachelor groups where they test their strength and practice fighting. And if a young bull manages to defeat a dominant bull from a herd, he takes over the role of the defeated one. And the old one then has to leave the herd. And these old bulls then live alone or in small male groups, and they are called daga bulls. The word daga comes from the language of the Zulu. It means mud, and that fits quite well, because these old bulls like to stay near water and often wallow in the mud. They then let it dry and wear it almost like a second skin. And the mud cools them, protects them from the sun, and helps against parasites. And when the mud dries, the buffalo scrape it off on rocks or trees. In the process, dead skin particles and pests are removed as well. You can often recognize old bulls at first glance. Their horns are often enormous. Their teeth are often heavily worn down. That's why they prefer soft grass from rather moist areas. You can often see the scars from fights on their bodies. Old bulls also lack the protection of the herd. A single buffalo is much easier for lions to attack than a closed group. This life on the edge of society makes them more cautious on the one hand, but also much more irritable on the other. There are many reports of buffalo that continue to fight even when severely wounded. And that has helped cement their reputation as one of Africa's most dangerous animals. I can still clearly remember my first time on safari. That was in 2003. I was traveling through Kruger National Park in South Africa with a rental car. Back then, I was still a real greenhorn in Africa, and suddenly I found myself right in the middle of a herd. The buffalo almost brushed against my car. One of them curiously looked in through the window. I was extremely nervous and completely overwhelmed by the situation. Still, I took photos, and I still enjoy looking at them today because they remind me of that goosebump moment. And on my website safariguide.online, I've uploaded a few of them. By the way, buffalo usually don't attack a car. You can watch the animals in a relaxed way. But it's important. You should disturb buffalo and other animals as little as possible. That's why you should always keep a certain distance. Back then, I was definitely way too close. By the way, the buffalo's most important sense is its sense of smell. If you watch closely, you can see that. When a buffalo can't make sense of something, it lifts its head, sticks its nose into the wind, and checks out the situation. You see this over and over again on safari. An animal stops, lifts its head, and suddenly the whole herd is alert. And communication within the herd often happens through sounds, soft grumbling in the grass, contact calls between mother and calf, and in case of danger, a clearly audible alarm call. And this alarm call immediately triggers a reaction. The herd closes ranks, calves move to the center, and the strong animals move to the outside. Suddenly, it's not just a collection of animals anymore, but a functioning unit. When a pride of lions attacks, the buffalo make a split-second decision whether to flee or stay. And if they choose to resist, that is to stay, then it becomes truly impressive. The animals form up. Their horns are pointed forward. Yes, there are documented cases where buffalo attack lions together and actually toss one high into the air. Buffalo can seriously injure and even kill lions. I witnessed such an attack last year in Zimbabwe. The day before, I had already seen a pride of lions at Chitake Springs in Manapools National Park. I was camping very close by. And the next day, I waited again at the waterhole. I just really like that. Just stopping somewhere and waiting. Africa then comes to you. You don't always have to drive around. At the water, there's almost always something happening. That day, the lion pride was there again too. With the cubs, there were a total of 15 lions, and they crept through the bushes one by one. And just to be safe, I stand near my car so I can quickly get in if there's an emergency. Some of the lions glance at me briefly as they pass by, but their real interest is in the two old dagger bulls drinking at the water below. And then things happen one after another. The lions launch their attack. The buffalo fight back, and then they run off with the lions in pursuit. And then suddenly, one buffalo turns around and charges straight at the lions, and the lions immediately back off and try to encircle the buffalo. And I could see right away the lions have a healthy respect. Respect for the strength and respect for the horns of these old bulls. Then I lose sight of the buffalo. The lions seem tired and lie down in the shade. Yes, in the end, this hunt is unsuccessful. At least for today. Because Chitake Springs is the only water source for miles around. And the dagger bulls will be back to drink by tomorrow at the latest. And I've also uploaded a photo of this hunt to safariguide.online. So far, I've talked a lot about hunting and being hunted. But when I see a herd of buffalo dagger bulls or a bachelor group on safari, it's usually rather unspectacular, though not uninteresting. Often I simply watch them grazing. Buffalo change the landscape. A herd grazes down large areas in a short time. And they also eat old, tough grass, which creates space for fresh, nutrient-rich grass. And it's exactly this young grass that is then used by other herbivores, such as zebras or wildebeest. At the same time, through this behavior, buffalo keep the grasslands open and prevent them from becoming too overgrown with bushes. Buffalo are an important part of the ecosystem, not only as prey for predators, but also as shapers of their environment. What is often not seen, buffalo are very frequently sick. One of the most important diseases is bovine tuberculosis, or BTB for short. And it was originally introduced into the ecosystem by domestic cattle and from there spread to the buffalo. Today, unfortunately, it is present in many populations. Its spread is closely linked to social behavior. Buffalo live close together and are constantly in contact with each other. These are ideal conditions for transmission through the air. The tricky part? Infected animals often appear completely normal for a long time. Only later do they lose condition and become weaker. By then, however, they have often already passed on the disease many times. This weakening has direct consequences. Lions prefer to hunt sick or weakened animals and can become infected themselves in the process. In Kruger National Park, it has been found that a large part of the lion population has come into contact with the pathogen. And the disease also weakens them and can be fatal in advanced stages. This means the disease is not limited to one species but spreads throughout the entire ecosystem. The buffalo acts as a reservoir that keeps the disease within the system. Other diseases such as foot and mouth disease also play a role. For buffalo, this is often less problematic. But for livestock such as cattle, it can have serious consequences. This has not only ecological but also economic impacts and leads to strict regulations regarding the handling of wild and domestic animals. The interplay with the environment becomes especially apparent. During times of drought, buffalo quickly lose condition, become more susceptible to disease, and at the same time, easier prey. Populations can then decline sharply. However, in years with abundant rainfall, they can recover very quickly. And all of this shows diseases are not an isolated problem. They are always connected to climate, food, behavior, and predator-prey relationships. And that is exactly what makes a safari so fascinating. The more you know, the more you see. You don't just look at a dark herd with horns. You recognize connections. You understand why the animals are here, what they are doing, and what role they play in the bigger picture. And I hope that you will consciously observe this on your next safari. Thank you for joining me on Safari today. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to support the Safari Guide, please check out my Patreon page. With your financial support, you help me continue this podcast independently and ad-free. And in doing so, you make it possible for new episodes to feature deeper research and even more stories from the world of safaris. Because that's what this is all about, not just seeing animals, but understanding them. You can find the link in the show notes. Thank you very much. Until the next episode, Frank, your safari guide.